I'd like to share with you a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 13th chapter. This is towards the end of the chapter. Jesus has been talking a lot about the kingdom of heaven. He's been using a number of parables, many of which involve seeds, and here is his continued teaching. He says, "He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the greatest of shrubs. It becomes even a tree, so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman put and mixed with 3 measures of flour until it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding a pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. Angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." I know some of you are more visual learners, and so I thought I'd put this into a visual form. We've got a quick little video. If technology works the way that it's supposed to, Steve, is this going to work? Of the growing of a mustard seed. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds." You have a bulletin that has a mustard seed taped on it. Did you notice that? Did you find it in the bulletin? You have to really look. Would you agree that it is a pretty small seed? If it were on your counter in the kitchen, do you think you'd notice it? If somebody had planted one in a flower pot out on your porch, do you think you'd notice that it was planted there? If one were planted in your yard and hadn't started to grow yet, do you think you'd notice that there was one of those in your yard? Probably not. By the way, a special thanks to the Thursday and Friday office volunteers who helped to tape those on. I'm sure they had a number of choice words as they were putting them on there and trying to find the mustard seeds and get the right ones on there and get them under the pieces of tape. If you will agree with me that they are a very small seed, that Jesus was right in that much, then maybe you'll agree with me also that there's more that we can see in this parable of the mustard seed that Jesus might be right about also. Little things become big things. So it's good to be able to pay attention to the little things, because little things can make a big difference. I'll be honest with you, though, as I was reading through the parable of the mustard seed, the thought that was coming to my mind is I have read through and referenced the parable of the mustard seed so many times. I was wondering if there was anything different that I might be able to find in it. I thought I pretty much knew everything there was to know about the parable of the mustard seed. And so this time as I looked at it, I asked myself, is there something new in there, something different that I can see that maybe I haven't seen before? I've noticed that I tend to miss things from time to time. One of the best places you can hide something from me is right where it belongs. Have you ever had that happen to you? I love, for example, the story this week about a lady by the name of, what is her name? Melanie Weeks. She lives in Alabama. And earlier in the month of July, she noticed that there were 2 deflated helium balloons out in her yard. She assumed that her neighbor must have had a birthday party or something and that the helium balloons were left over from that, so she sent her 2 sons out to get the helium balloons and throw them away. They went out to get the helium balloons and were shocked at what they found when they got to them. Tied to the balloons, there were 2 rings. why would there be two rings tied to helium balloons? She was curious, so she called the police, turned them over to the police. These were gold wedding rings, it looked like. She also started a social media campaign to try to find out who the owner of the rings was. Sure enough, after a couple of weeks, a lady by the name of, see if I can find her name, Kaylee Burkett came forward with a post on Facebook to say that they were hers. She and her fiancé, Stiles Blevins, are to be married later in October, and she said their rings from a previous marriage. She said in an interview in a very strong Southern accent, and I tried to imitate the Southern accent, but I couldn't get it down.
Imagine, no, try it. Try it.
I'd only offend somebody,
try
I'm
it.
Sure. So you can imagine this is being said with a strong Southern accent. She said, letting go, you know, of the past. You don't need something like that going into a new marriage. We didn't want money for them. Just that night, we came home from a bonfire about 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock, walked to the bottom of the hill, and let them go. They even contacted eHarmony, you know, the online dating service, to see what they thought of the whole thing, and they said they thought that it was a great idea. They said it's a good idea to get rid of reminders of exes and to start fresh. She says that she doesn't want him back. She doesn't want any money for him. And so Lisa and her two kids are now a little bit richer because they paid attention. They paid attention to something that otherwise might have gone unnoticed. So as I was reading through this parable, I decided to ask, how could I be more attentive? What might I be supposed to see in this that I haven't seen before? It's only like a verse and a half long. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds that someone took and sowed in a field. But when it's grown, it becomes the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. There were two words that caught my attention. Those two words were, so that. A mustard seed is the smallest of seeds. It grows into a big shrub or a tree, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its branches. It's a statement of purpose. It tells us why something is the way that it is. Have you ever used those words? Have you used them recently? The word so that? You may know that Tuesday was my birthday. And one of the things that I got for my birthday from my wife was a Fitbit. Have you heard of these? It's like a bracelet thing. It's really a pedometer. It tracks the number of steps that you make in a day. Actually, it tracks the number of times you move your hand. And so if you see me driving, you just might find me driving like this. My wife says it's cheating, but I'm trying to get over 10,000 steps a day. And if I'm doing a lot of driving, that's the only way that I can do it. And so I asked her, why would I want to know how many steps I take in a day? She said, well, I know that you're trying to rehab that leg. I know you're trying to get back in shape. It is so that you can track your progress. On Monday, I celebrated my early part of my birthday by going to see the eye doctor. Again, this is part of my crusade to get well. I know that I have a cataract that's been growing in one eye, and so I decided it was time to check it out. So I went to see the eye doctor. The eye doctor told me that I'm legally blind in my right eye. Hadn't expected to hear that. Told me that I need to have cataract surgery. Do you know why? So that you'll be able to see more clearly. Exactly. It's important to live with a sense of purpose. What you look for determines what you'll find. And so I think it's important to ask questions like, what am I doing? And the answer is likely to begin with those two simple words, so that, so that. Let's try it with this parable. Why would Jesus tell the parable of the mustard seed? Maybe it's so that. We will remember that the kingdom of heaven is often easily overlooked. Remember, Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee. He's over on the Tiberias side. On the other side of the Sea of Galilee, Herod the Great is building a temple or a palace. It's actually kind of his vacation home. He is having a mountain moved in order to raise the level where the palace would be able to be built. I think Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven isn't like that. It's not something that you're going to have to draw attention to or that you're going to be able to look at and see. It's much more subtle than that. Russia, as you know, is invading the Ukraine. I think Jesus would say it's not like that. It's not like something that you need to invade in order to find. I don't know why the Malaysian jet was shot down, but if it was for intentional purposes, the kingdom of heaven isn't like that. It's not something that needs to be found through violent means. Israel is trying to get rid of those who don't agree with it. The kingdom of heaven's not like that. It's not something that needs to be protected. Not something that should be seen as a threat. It might be right in front of you. In fact, it might even be right here this morning. The kingdom of heaven might be among us. Once Jesus was asked by a Pharisee what the kingdom of heaven is going to look like when it comes. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'Look, there it is.' For in fact," Jesus said, this is the gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, "the kingdom of heaven is among you." It's more like a hand on a shoulder when you thought there was no one there, or like the breeze on the back of your neck when you're praying quietly, or like the sun that moves out from behind the clouds when you didn't even think that there was a cloud in the sky. It's like yeast in bread. It's like salt in soup. It's like the coin that's lost. It's something that has to be looked for to be found, and even then, when you find it, it may not look like what you thought you were looking for. The mustard seed is a tiny seed, and even at its best, it's still just a shrub. Maybe you could call it a tree, but still a small tree at that. And in this parable, it's something that somebody else plants in the field. Notice, or in other words, it's a weed. Around here, we have mustard plants. Do you know what we call them most of the time, though? They grow out in fields, and they got yellow flowers on them. We call them ragweed. Mostly, you know that they're growing because they kick up your allergies, and you wish that they weren't there. The Apostle Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing the things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God." I love the story of the teenager who lost a contact lens. Have you heard this story before? Teenager lost the contact lens, and you know what happens when you lose a contact lens? Everybody drops to the ground, right? And because you can't see. So you start dropping to the ground and you start feeling around all over the floor to figure out where the contact lens might have disappeared to. So that's what everybody was doing. This teenager and all of their friends were trying to find the contact lens. When mom walks in the room, they asked, "What's wrong that everybody's on the floor?" And they tell mom, "We've lost a contact lens." And mom immediately steps back, looks around, surveys the situation, reaches down and picks up the contact lens. They asked, "How is it possible? We're searching everywhere and can't find the contact lens. And you just reach down and find it." She said, "The reason is, you all were looking for a little piece of plastic. I was looking for $150. What if the kingdom of heaven is right here among us? What if what we need is to be more attentive, to have the eyes to be able to see? What if God is trying to tell us what he needs us to do all the time? All we need to do is have better ears to listen. So that, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's easily overlooked. What else might we discover in this parable? What does it grow into? If you plant a mustard seed, is it going to grow into a tomato plant? Is it going to grow into an oak tree? Is there any chance that you're ever going to get a banana from a mustard plant? No, what's it turn into? It turns into a mustard plant, doesn't it? Or in other words, in the kingdom of God, the fruit that you produce is determined by the seeds that you plant. So if you want to be producing a certain kind of fruit, it means early on you got to be planting the right kinds of seeds. Are you planting the right kinds of seeds? Jesus talks about a mustard seed in a couple of different places. In the gospel according to Matthew, it appears in two places, here in the 13th chapter and then a little later on in the 17th chapter. There the disciples have been out trying to do the things that Jesus does. A person has come to him with a son who's having epileptic seizures, and they try to heal him, but they're not able to. They seem to have wanted to, as if to say they wanted to do something flashy and spectacular in order to bring attention to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, faith isn't like that. If you have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, he says in Matthew 17, you'll be able to say to the mountain, be moved from here to there, and it would be moved. Or in other words, the amount of faith isn't important. It's the type of faith. The kind of faith is crucial. There's a very old legend about some men that went out on a journey. They walked across the wilderness, and eventually they got past the wilderness, and around sundown they came to a river. And when they were at the river, they heard this voice from out in the sky telling them, take some rocks from the river and put them in your pocket. If you heard a voice saying to you to do that, would you do it? They decided, what can I lose? So they reached down, they took, the voice said, if you do it, you will be both happy and sad. They said, well, I got nothing to lose, let's give it a try. So they got some rocks, put them in their pocket, and then they kept on walking. In the morning, they reached into their pocket to check on the pebbles, and they found that they had turned into diamonds and rubies. And sure enough, they were both happy and sad. Do you know why they were happy? They got diamonds and rubies. Do you know why they were sad, Fred? They wish they had gotten more. My point is, in most situations, there is both good and bad, both things that will make us happy and sad. And we need to look for the things that are good in most every situation. The good news is that we can all have what we want of the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. All we have to do is be willing to have hearts and minds that are open to receive it. So that the mustard seed grows into a tree, so that the birds of the air can nest in its branches. We know that the seeds are small. We know that they don't produce an oak tree or a radish. What else do we know about the kingdom of heaven? When you put a seed in a ground, what happens to it? It begins to grow, right? And does that happen overnight? No, it takes time for it to happen. It takes time for it to grow into a mustard shrub or tree so that the birds of the air can make nests in its branches. And then it provides a place where birds can find safety, security, and a sense of home. The kingdom of heaven is not known by a place or a place that you can go. It's more a thing that you do. It's found when the weary find rest, when the hurting find healing, when the wandering find a place to belong. In 1918, there was a guy by the name of Cameron Townsend who was doing some mission work down in Guatemala. He went down to Guatemala, and one of the things they were doing in Guatemala is passing out Bibles. They passed out Bibles, though, because they had them in English. One guy from Guatemala, a local native guy, asked a simple question that changed Mr. Townsend's life. He asked the question, if your God is so great, why can't he speak my language? That simple question inspired Cameron Townsend to found the Wycliffe Bible Society that now has as its mission trying to produce Bibles in every language under the sun. It's why when our mission team went to visit Guatemala, one of the things they did, what was this, 2 weeks ago? One of the things that they did was pass out Bibles. And what language were the Bibles in? Quechua. So that they would be able to read the scriptures in their own language. Or in other words, to find or to be reminded that there is a place for even people that speak Quechua in the Christian faith. So that. All right, let's try it with our church's mission statement. What if we ask that question, so that? We are a faith community here for a reason, to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Why are we doing that? So that people's hearts will be connected to God. Why is it important that our hearts be connected to God? So that we can grow to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Why is it important that we grow to become faithful disciples of Jesus Christ? So that we can connect, grow, serve others. Why is it important that we serve others? Here's a part that I am introducing. So that we can be a church without walls. So that we can be a church without walls. It's not confined to the things that happen in this physical building. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Why is the mustard shrub growing in the field? So that the birds have a place to nest. Why should we be attentive to what God is doing around us so that we won't miss out on the kingdom? Why is it important to know what kind of seeds we are planting so that we will know what kind of fruit we will produce? Why is it important to connect our hearts to God so that we become disciples of Jesus Christ? Why is it important to grow to be more fully devoted followers so that we become His servants? Why is it important that we become His servants so that we can be a church that's not limited by walls? Seeds like the cross give very little reward, only the promise of reward, that one day they will grow into something worth noticing. The most ignored death, if at the end of a life of observant service, has the promise of resurrection. For in the final analysis, nothing escapes the notice of the one to whom we answer and who says, "The Father who sees in secret will reward us openly." May it be so. One more time, let me show you what this might look like in a visual image, the parable of the mustard seed.